What an excellent way to start the daf with a couple of coughs. Okay, good morning. Good morning. I might as well just start the whole thing again. It's absurd. Okay, Okay, good Mosei Shabbos, everybody. Good Hoshana Rabbah. However, good Kvitl. Gemar Tov. Did I cover everything? Okay, we are learning tomorrow's daf tonight. The purpose of doing so is so that we can properly daven tomorrow morning with a little bit of kavana and not having to worry about making it for the daf. I encourage everybody, I mean, there's a lot of minyanim tomorrow morning. There's a Nate's menu tomorrow morning. So if you're available and you're awake, yeah, 6:45, it's not that bad. It's late. Okay, good. Anyway, so I encourage everyone to attend the Nate's tomorrow morning, as there are other minyanim as well to go to. Okay, today's daf is daf Dalet, and we're back on daf Gimel Amud Beis, and we're in the middle of a sugya. So let's get this straight. Okay, it's a complex sugya that we're going through right now, and we're right in the middle of it. When I put my hand into another rishus, so the Abai starts off with the following. He makes a declaration, and he says, there is no way that hand is connected to you. And I know that. In other words, it's obvious from the Mishnah, because if you take a look at the Mishnah has the following case, where you have the poor person standing outside, and his hand is inside, and now what the Baal Bas does is he puts it into the hand of the Ani. Now, if you just simply say that the hand is connected to you, and you're standing in the Rishus HaRabim, so that would mean then that he, the Baal Bas, just deposited the item into a Rishus HaRabim. But the Mishnah says that's not true. And you would be Chayav. The Mishnah says that's not true. The Mishnah says that he did the Akira, you did the Hanacha, so therefore everyone's going to be Pater. And Pater, as we discussed earlier this afternoon, meant Pater of Al Asr. Good. So Abayi says, I know that the hand is not considered part of the person once the hand has now entered into another airspace, into another domain. That's clear, that's a given. I wonder, says Abayi, this is his question, I wonder, did the Chachamim slap a knas on the hand? So that once the hand now has reached over the threshold and gone into the house, into the Rishus Yachid, is the hand now mid-Rabbanan what is called a karmelis? As karmelis, as we discussed earlier this afternoon, when the rabbis have a hard time defining what something is, meaning it's not a Rishus Yachid, it's not a Rishus Rabbim, so not always, but often, they call it a karmelis. And karmelis means is that mid-Rabbanan it now will be ushered to transfer from the Karmelis to the Rishus HaRabim, from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus Yachin. And as we got done explaining, what that would mean would be the following, is that when your hand is holding an item now and has crossed into the house, so granted that your hand is not a Rishus HaRabim, your hand is not a Rishus Yachin, but I wonder, says Abaye, maybe your hand is a Karmelis. And that would mean the following, explains Rashi. You got to stay there. You got to just stand like this for the rest of Shabbos. Because for you to now bring your hand back in would mean that you'd be transferring from a Karmelis to a Rishus HaRabim. And so I wonder, Abaye says, did the Chachamim do that, yes or no? Tashma, so let's continue where we left off in the Gemara.
I have a question to that. When you bring back the item, you're transforming your hand from a Karmelis back into a Rishus.
That's correct.
So then you're not really transferring from bringing
it back. Well, in other words, mid Rabbanan. I mean, once the rabbis have labeled your hand a Karmelis, so now you've done it. You brought your hand back. Now, granted, your hand will turn back into a Rishus HaYachid. But you transferred. You transferred from a Karmelis to a Rishus HaYachid. This is not, in other words, you have to understand, it's our first time that we're exposed to the idea of Karmelis, and it's such an unconventional introduction. This is not the normal Karmelis. Normal Karmelis is like when you go out into the, you know, onto Montoya Circle. That's a Karmelis, meaning it's not a Rishus HaYachid, it's not a Rishus HaRabim. So that's a classic Karmelis. This is very not classic. So our introduction, our first view to the word to the world of Karmelis is very strange, where the Gemara now is proposing that the hand is going to turn into a Karmelis. It's granted. It's very strange.
So is there a
yeah, you're right. Exactly. When precisely does it need a hanacha, so to say?
Yeah.
Right. Fair question. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Let's see the Gemara inside Tashma. The Gemara now says, well, let's start off with the question, as long as we're going all the way back. On Gimel Amud Beis, we are about 10 lines from the top. The Amud Baya Baya Yadosh Adam Maushitas and Karmelis. Is the hand going to be like a Karmelis? Mi Kansur Rabban La Adur Legabe Olo. Did the rabbis make a Kanas? Tashma, the Gemara says, well, look at the following. Observe a Braisa. Your hand is full of fruit. And you took your hand outside. Okay, so this is the opposite. But it's still the same idea. So your hand was inside, now you sent it outside. And Tanicha Dasa Lachzir. So one brisa says you can't bring your hand back. Or Tani Dachmutal Lachzir, and the other brisa says you can bring your hand back. So we have conflicting brises in terms of whether or not you can bring your hand back. So my love, Hakamifliki. So the Gemara says, I think I know Pshat in the Machlokus. Mar Savar Kakamlas Damya, Mar Savar Lav Kakamlas Damya. And the Gemara proposes very simply. One position is that your hand is a karmless, and the other position holds that your hand is not a karmless. Meaning it is exactly the question of Abaye that these two brises are arguing about, whether your hand is a karmless. The Gemara says, Lo, de Kulamak Kakamlas Damya. The Gemara says, no. We could suggest like this. Everybody subscribes to the idea that once your hand has crossed over the threshold, your hand is a karmless. Well, kashya, kan lamata me'asara, kan lamala me'asara, and it's just a question of the following. When you sent your hand from, now remember, the Bryce is talking about where you were inside the house, and you sent your hand outside the house. One's talking about below 10, and one's talking about above 10 tfachim. Let's introduce a couple of points before we understand this, and then we'll have a better chance of understanding this. Rishus Hayachid, I talked about this during the general introduction, but I'm going to reiterate now. Rishus Hayachid, once you have a Rishus Hayachid, so how high up does it go? Ad infinitum. Okay, that's fancy terminology for it doesn't stop. The Rishus Hayachid status just continues to go up, perpetually. Even after the wall stop, the status of the Rishus Hayachid continues. Rishus HaRabim is much more interesting. Rishus HaRabim is that it has a ceiling. Now when I say ceiling, I mean a legal ceiling. Meaning that a Rishus HaRabim, a street, right? Let's call Palmetto Park Road a Rishus HaRabim. Now, I don't want to say that because that's extraordinarily controversial, but just for the...
Glades.
Right, let's... we'll call Glades a Rishus HaRabim. That's much better. So the I-95, there we go. So the Rishus HaRabim status of Palmetto Park Road or of I-95 is only the road and 10 tefachim above that. Meaning anything higher than 10 tefachim is not a Rishus HaRabim. Now that's fascinating. 10 tefachim, even for me who is... I have height challenges in life. Okay? And I don't think I'm going to grow anymore. At least the rabbi told me so recently. So the... but still, I mean, 10 tefachim is very low to the ground. 10 tefachim is 30 to 40 inches off the ground. You're talking about approximately 3 feet off the ground. So that means that anything above 3 feet off the Rishus HaRabim, off the road itself, is no longer considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Well, what is it? And the answer is very simple. It's nothing. It's nothing. We're going to introduce ourselves now to a new term which I don't think we've used before, which is Makom Patur. Huh? It's not, no. No. No, it's called a Makom Patur. Makom Patur means it's just simply nothing. Meaning it's above the Rishus HaRabim area, it's not a Rishus HaYachid, the rabbis didn't label it a Karmelis, it's simply nothing. It's not a recognized Rishus. Okay, and we'll talk more about this over the course of the Masechta in terms of Makom Patur. Makom Patur, just so that we all understand, min haTorah and midRabbanan, I can transfer something from a Rishus HaYachid to a Makom Patur, from a Makom Patur to a Rishus HaYachid, from a Makom Patur to Rishus HaRabim. Meaning, it's nothing. It's literally nothing. It's not a recognized domain. Not min haTorah, not midRabbanan. Good. That is, so in other words, so after ten tefachim. By the way, it just raises such a basic issue. Meaning, how do you ever carry in a Rishus HaRabim? Meaning, I'm carrying something in a Rishus HaRabim. Even me, with my height challenges. Meaning, I'm going to be carrying it over 3 feet off the ground, right? And I'm carrying it now in a Makom Patur. The answer to that is very simple. Meaning, when something is in my hand, it can't ignore the fact that my legs are in the Rishus HaRabim. So with every step I take, where I'm stepping in the Rishus HaRabim, the item I'm holding may be above the actual quote-unquote ceiling of the Rishus HaRabim, but the fact of the matter is I'm standing currently in the Rishus HaRabim, so the fact is that the item, even though the item itself is above the 10 tefachim ceiling, but I'm standing in the Rishus HaRabim, you can't ignore that fact. Okay. Now... Wait, just wait one second. Wait, well, now let's go back to the Gemara's answer, and the Gemara now proposes the following. One brisa says you can bring your hand back, the other brisa says you cannot bring your hand back. And so now what the Gemara is proposing at this juncture is the following. Well, it makes a difference. When you sent your hand out from the house into the Rishus HaRabim, was it below 10 tefachim or was it above 10 tefachim? As Rashi explains. Once it's below 10 tefachim, so that now means that your hand now went from a Rishus HaYachid into a Rishus HaRabim. And there was fruit in your hand. So the Chachamim said, wow, we didn't like that. That wasn't good. Because all you need to do now is just drop it, and you violate Nisa Daraisa of Hotzah. So you know what? Kanas. Your hand now is a karma. You can't retract your hand. As opposed to if you put your hand out and it's lamala miyud. Now remember, you're standing in the house. So you're not standing in the Rishos Rabim. So you're standing in the house, and now your hand is over the 30 to 40 inch ceiling of the Rishos Rabim. So now the item is where? It's in limbo. It's in a makom patur. So now, have you actually made any type of transference whatsoever? Not even midrabanan. You've done nothing. So the Chachamim say, okay, now at that point in time, you can retract your hand. That is... No. In other words, when you're sitting inside your house, you're sitting in the Rishos HaYachid. Now you're taking something, and now, right, let's imagine for just a moment that this is now where my house ends. This is the doorway, and right outside of the Rishos HaRabim. So what the Gemara now is proposing is that if I bring it out below 10 Tvachim, so I've just transferred. Now, I didn't really, because transferring means I need to drop it. But in other words, I've at least now started the transfer from a Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim. So the Chachamim said that's not good. So you know what? You got to stay there. Stay there for the rest of Shabbos. As opposed to if I now take my hand out over 10 Tvachim, so now my hand didn't go into the Rishos HaRabim. It's above the Rishos HaRabim. So now I can bring it back. The Gemara... That's one proposal. The Gemara gives another answer. The Gemara now does a 180. The Gemara says, well, let's say that in both of these brises we're talking about where you were below 10 tefachim. And let's assume that your hand is not a karmelis. And it's a question of when you took your hand out. If you took your hand out before Shabbos began. And I don't know what was going on now for that time from when Shabbos began to when Shabbos actually from when Shabbos before Shabbos began to now when Shabbos has begun. But you just kind of kept your hand out there, so then you could bring it back. As opposed to if you take your hand out Mishech Hashecha after it gets dark, so then you can't bring it back. Mi ba'o yom lo kansur rabbanon Mishech Hashecha kansur rabbanon. And the Gemara spells it out that if you take your hand out Mi ba'o yom, in other words, it wasn't Shabbos when you took your hand out. So in other words, you didn't do an Akira on Shabbos. So in other words, there's no possibility that you're going to be violating the Hotzah. So now it's just a question of retracting your hand, that's fine. As opposed to Masha Inkin, if you took your hand out on Shabbos, so now you did the Akira, you're locked and loaded, all you need to do is put the thing down on the floor and you'll be violating the Malach of Hotzah. The rabbi said, you know what? Done. Don't bring your hand back as a Knas, as a Knas. Now it's interesting because the Gemara introduces his answer by saying, you know, nobody holds that your hand is a karmelis. Meaning, as Rashi points out, this is just a simple kanas. Meaning, without getting elaborate and technical, without having to introduce karmelis into this discussion. Now, Azra Abicha Ibcha Mistab, now the Gemara says, now hold on a second. Let's think about this just a little bit more. Meaning, we're now suggesting that if you took your hand out on Shabbos, don't bring it back in. As a kanas, as a rabbinic fine. Masha'inke, if you took your hand out before Shabbos, so then you can bring it back in even on Shabbos. If you think about this a little bit, you realize just the opposite makes more sense. Meaning, if you took your hand out before Shabbos, so what's the worst case scenario? It's not so bad. Meaning, I'll drop it down on the floor, even though it's on Shabbos, even though I dropped it in Rosh Hashanah, but I didn't do the Akira on Shabbos, I only did the Hanach on Shabbos, so you know what? Maybe the rabbis want to teach me a lesson and they'll tell me, keep your hand out there and just leave it out there for the remainder of Shabbos. But Meshech Hashecha, Dishad Yilei Asi B'Ludei Chatas, Lo Liknus Tu Rabbanan. But think about it now. You take your hand out on Shabbos. So you just did the Akira. You're locked and you're loaded. You're now primed to violate the Malach of Otsah. And now the Chachamim say, oh, we really didn't like what you just did. You know what? Freeze. Keep your hand out there. And keep it out there until the end of Shabbos. Chances are, right? You ever do this, by the way? Right? Let's see if I can just a cell phone. It's really not a big deal. A cell phone. Can I hold it out like this for the next, well, we have 40 minutes left today in the shir? I couldn't hold it out for another 10 minutes like this. Okay? Right. There's no way that's going to happen. And what's going to end up happening is that you're going to put it down in the Rishos HaRabim. And you know what? It sounds like that the Chachamim's Kanas is only going to exacerbate the whole issue, because you're going to then just drop in the Rosh Hashanah. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara says, Umedaloka Mashin and Hachi. Now, by virtue of the fact that the Gemara didn't even entertain that, even though what I just said sounded like made sense, but it did, the Chachamim didn't, the Gemara didn't even entertain that, Tevshod Rabibi Barabayin. So it comes out now that we're able to resolve another issue, that of Rabibi Barabayin, Dabai Rabibi Barabayin, Hidvik Paspa Tanur. So the following question comes up. Now, in order to understand this question, just one word of introduction. There's something called Rediyah Sapas. We get to talk about it a couple times over the course of the Masechta. Rediyah Sapas is the following. How they make their ovens back in the good old days, everyone go to Israel, you'll go onto the old kibbutz, on the old moshav, and they would take bread and they would put it right on the stone, on the semicircular stone. And they would make their pitas that way, and then you just simply take it off. Okay? And the bread making in the time of the Gemara was really not that different. It was an oven, but they would take the bread, flatten it against the wall of the oven, and then take it off the oven when it's good and baked. Okay? Now, baking on Shabbos, one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. You're not allowed to bake on Shabbos. That's a given. What if the following happens? Let's say, well, I'm sorry, one other point to start off with. Ridia sapas, the removing the bread off the oven wall. Is there an issue with that? So min haTorah, the answer is no, absolutely not. We're just taking bread off the wall. Meaning the baking is putting the bread into the oven. But once that bread's in the oven, taking it off the wall, scraping it off the wall, that's not nisa min haTorah. Min haTorah, huh? You could suggest that, but I mean the Gemara assumes no. There is an iser derabanan to do so. Now, why is there an issur d'rabbanan to do so? It's not clear. The Gemara does not say. All the Gemara says regarding Rediyah Sapas is that it's a chachma v'lo malacha. It's a skill, it's not a malacha. The Gemara puts it in the same category as blowing shofar. You know, blowing shofar, when it's not a mitzvah to do so, meaning Rosh Hashanah, it's a mitzvah to do so. But when it's not a mitzvah to do so, so the Gemara says it's also d'rabbanan, to blow shofar on Shabbos. Okay? Or Yantar for that matter. Again, aside from Rosh Hashanah, obviously. It's in that genre. It's in that category of... It's an Issur d'Rabbanan. So here's the question. It's such a straightforward question. Assuming everything I just said is correct and accurate, so now the Gemara wants to know. Friday night, Shabbos morning, totally forgot. And I put the bread, and I flattened the bread right onto the walls of the oven. And now the bread is baking. Now left there on its own... So the bread is going to bake, and I just violated the Isser of baking on Shabbos, cooking on Shabbos. Granted, b'shogeg, I understand that, but still. In other words, how about the following? How about if, let's say, I catch myself in time, where I now realize, oh, wait a second, it's Shabbos, and I just put the bread in the oven, I could take it off right now before it breaks. I said breaks. Before it bakes. And I'll be saving myself from the Chilul Shabbos. But the only thing is that I have to violate an Issur d'Rabbanan in order to do it. So the question is the following. It's a great question. The particular case is, we're never going to come across, but just conceptually the question is fantastic. Can I violate an Issur d'Rabbanan in order to protect and save myself from violating an Issur d'Araisa?
Don't you imagine?
No, but you're not chayav until the bread is actually baked. In other words, baking requires the bread to be baked, as is cooking, right? Ma'achal ben drusai. It needs to get to a shear. So the moment I put it on is not the chilo. It started the process of chilo, but chilo is not actually accomplished until the bread is actually baked. So it is a great question. Correct. So here. We're in the scenario now where I started the process, and now the question is, this is Bibi Barabaya's question. Can I do that? Can I now violate the Issur d'Rabbanan of what's called Rediyah Sapas in order to save myself from Afia? And the Gemara says, this is his question. I think I know the answer, says the Gemara. Because look, what are we talking about over here? We are talking about, your hand is now out. And there's an item in your hand, and the Chachamim are so unhappy with you, and they said to you, don't bring your hand back in. Now, here are your choices. Well, if I bring my hand back in, I'm violating the Rabbana. But if you keep my hand out there, eventually I'm going to drop the thing on the floor. Okay, you're already seeing differences between the cases. You're one step ahead. Because now that the Gemara has brought us to this point, where the Gemara now has very candidly said, I can't bring my hand back in, because that's an Issa Darabanan, even though there's a good chance it'll lead to an Issa Daraisa. So now it sounds like, based on simple extrapolation, well, it sounds like we're going to say the same thing by Bibi Barabaye's case, where I'm not allowed to take the bread off the oven wall, even though it's going to save me from an Issa Daraisa. Yeah, but you can't. Meaning, once your hand now, once there's a Kenas Darabanan, okay, good. So that's good. Good. That's exactly the Gemara's question. So the Kadosh Olo Itiru Tivshot Delo Itiru. So the Gemara says, it sounds like it's very clear. There's no heter. So Halo Kashiv Tivshot. So the Gemara's first reaction is good. Yishkoch, meaning good job. Based on what we're saying regarding you're not allowed to bring your hand back in, even though that's only Nisa Darabanan, even though that it may save you from Nisa Daraisa, same thing with the case of Bibi Barabaye. Same story. I can't scrape the bread off the oven wall, even though that may save me from Nisa Daraisa. That's response number one of the Gemara. Good. Or the Gemara says, and now we're up to Phil, maybe the cases aren't the same. So the Gemara says, and look, we can make a very distinct, simple distinction between shogeg versus mezig. B'shogeg lo kansur rabbanan, b'mezig kansur rabbanan. And maybe, in other words, let's go back. We have two brises. One brisa says you can't return your hand back in. The other brisa says you can bring your hand back. So if you took your hand out, b'shogeg, bring it back. Bring it right back. In other words, there the rabbis didn't give you, it didn't penalize you. In other words, you took your hand out there to be shogeg to begin with. But as opposed to where you took your hand out b'mezid, now I always find this to be funny because for that person who took his hand out b'mezid, meaning I know it's Shabbos and I don't care and I'm taking my hand out. And now the chachamim come over and say, you know, because you just did that, you know you're not allowed to bring your hand back in. That person now is all of a sudden going to have a turn of heart and say, oh, you're right. Right, he was Mahara B'tshuva at that moment in time. Yes, yeah, it seems that way. It certainly seems that way. So, B'kam B'mezik, Kam B'shogeg. Now, if that's true, B'shogeg lo Kansur Rabbanan, B'mezik Kansur Rabbanan. Good. And if that's true, and if that is correct, so then it's not going to help our Bibi Barabaya scenario, because the assumption, of course, is that you put the bread on B'shogeg, not B'mezid. Okay. No. Well, hold on. Wait on the death penalty.
If you find someone that stuck his hand in the right,
room,
you just give him a warning.
Right. E by thema b'shogeg, the Gemara says, or you could suggest that again, both Bryces are talking about where it was on b'shogeg, v'hacha b'kansu shogeg, atu mezik imifligi, and the classic debate of when the chachamim make a kanas. Certainly they want to penalize somebody who does something deliberately. That we understand. Are they also going to include in that penalty the person who did so b'shogeg? Right? A year ago, I was driving in New York and I was on the cell phone. I got pulled over by the police. I said, officer, I'm really sorry. I'm from Florida. It's fine where I'm from. In other words, I was arguing I'm b'shogeg. So he said, I don't care. And he didn't quote the Gemara over here on Shabbos, Daf Gimel, Amud Beis. But in other words, Kansinan Shogeg got to amazed. He said to me, I mean, not in those words, but basically in the words of, good, you're a Shogeg, but you're here. and you're on the phone. And he gave me a ticket. So, Kansinan Shogeg got to amazed. Kimifligi, Marsava Kansu Shogeg got to amazed. And Marsava Lo Kansu Shogeg got to amazed. The by name of the Gemara says, or we can say it like this, Lo'olam Lo Kansu. Or we could go a whole different approach and say, you know what, there's no knas whatsoever. Meaning, you took your hand out. Can I bring my hand back in? Yeah, sure. No problem at all. No problem at all. What about the braisa that says that you can't bring your hand back in? No, that braisa doesn't mean that you can't bring your hand back in, even though that's what it says. But what that braisa means is you can't bring your hand back into another chatzar. Meaning, once your hand is out there, you can't say, oh, you know what? As long as it's outside my house, so, you know, I'm just going to transfer it over into another chatzar. That you can't do. Now, why not? In fact, This is a discussion that Rava had with Rav Nachman on the top of Dalam and Aleph, and a fruit was taken outside the house, meaning he hand was with fruit was went outside the house. Ma'olach zir lo sechatzer. Can I bring it back into the chatzer? Amalei Mutri says, sure, no problem at all. Lechatzer acheres, can I kind of toss it into another chatzer? Meaning, what difference does it make? Once I'm allowed to bring it into a chatzer, ma'li chatzer, my chatzer, ma'li somebody else's chatzer. Amalei aser. So to that, Rav Nachman says, no, you can't do that. Umay shna. So Rav says to Rav Nachman, I'm not following. What's the difference? L'chitecha ala kura damacha. An expression you get to hear a lot in the Gemara. Go pour some salt over it. Okay, it doesn't translate well literally. It basically means, you know, think about it, give it some time, a measure of salt. So ha sam lo isav de machshava sohacha isav de machshava. So it's very simple. Because if I take an item out of the chatzer and I just simply retract it back in, no gain, no foul. Right? In other words, nothing happened. But if I take my hand out of this chatzer and I just flip it into another chatzer, there's a good chance that that's probably what you wanted to do. I mean, I couldn't transfer from this chatzer to that chatzer, and so I take it out of here and I just flip it over, the chachamim realized that's we're not going to let you get away with that, that you're not allowed to do. Okay, that takes us through the very complicated topic of when your hand goes into another reshus. What is the status of the hand? How do we view the hand? So any good conclusions from the Gemara, it's hard to say. Meaning, the Abaye made a suggestion that maybe the Chachamim slapped a karmala status on your hand as it now enters into another domain. Mind you, by the way, it's not just your hand. It has to be your hand with something in it, and your hand goes into another domain. Did the rabbi slap karmelis on that? And Abaye suggested maybe yes. And the Gemara basically goes through. It was almost a half a dozen different suggestions in how to explain the brisa. One brisa says you can bring your hand back. The other brisa says you can't bring your hand back. And the Gemara really does not arrive at any very definitive conclusion in terms of whether your hand has the status of a karmelis. Sounds like from the Gemara's end point, it's fine. You're allowed to bring your hand back, although that's, huh? But not, right, but you can't send it back, you can't send it into another chatzar. And Ridias, oh, so the Ridias, well, hold it, no, because it's the Gemara Gufa, that's what we're going to go back to.
But what about the issue of
the 10th? Well, no, that issue has not changed, meaning that was one of the answers of the Gemara, is that there makes a difference whether your hand went above 10th tefachim or below 10th tefachim. But that's just one answer. The Gemara offered a number of other answers where it doesn't even matter. Meaning, if your hand, even if your hand was below 10 tefachim, you didn't put it down on the floor, your hand's still there in the air. Gufa, the Gemara says, how about this? By Rabibi Barabai Hidbik Paspatani Tirlo Lodoso Karm Shavoli Dechiv Chatas Olohi Tiru. Okay, and now we get to go back to the oven and the baked bread in the oven. So again, the case is very simple. I forgot it Shabbos. I put bread in the oven, and then all of a sudden I realized. And can I scrape the bread off, which would be a violation of Issa d'Rabbanan? And the question is, it's such a lumdish question. It's beautiful. Can I violate Issa d'Rabbanan to save me from an Issa d'Araisa? This was Bibi Barabai's question. So the Gemara, without addressing the question head on, deals with very technical aspects of the question. Amalei Ravacha Barabai LaRavina Hechidami. Very technical questions. Specifically, what happened? Ilema b'shogeg v'lo itkerle. Now, he put the bread there in the oven by accident. He forgot. So who? Laman hitiru. So who are we giving a heter to? Meaning this guy walked away from the oven. Right? He went on with his day. He totally forgot. Huh? We'll get to that in just a second. But right now, the Gemara is assuming, well, not assuming, but in other words, the Gemara is just testing out what are the different possibilities. If he didn't remember, so there's no heter to give to anybody because he just simply walked away. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be that he remembered. Here's the problem, and it's super technical. Mimechayev. Well, you won't really be chayav a carbon under such circumstances. V'atanam, because we learned in the Mishnah, kol chay v'chatos enin chayavin, ad she teitchil shigagasim v'sovin shigagah. So, The problem is that in order for something to qualify as a shogeg, you have to be shogeg throughout. Meaning, it's not shogeg until you're shogeg from the very beginning to the very end. So now let's get this straight.
And you can't remember in the middle and then forget it.
What?
You can't remember in the middle.
You could. I think you could. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But in other words, even I'm not sure. But the point over here is that someone taps on the shoulder and says, you know, that was just bread you put in the oven, and today is Shabbos. You're no longer in shogeg land.
Just to make a point, to what you just said, I know when you forget to daven, you say I'm going to daven minchah later. You can't do tumarev because you had a moment that you remembered and you took that with
you. Right. Well.
So you can't go back there.
Okay. I tell you what. I spoke about that one time about having a moment of ones. Can a moment of ones? That's a different. In other words, right for now. Just to keep everything simple and keep the Gemara streamlined. The basic point is that shogeg is only shogeg when you're shogeg from beginning to end. And if someone's tapping you on the shoulder and says, you're baking bread in the oven, you're no longer shogeg.
Are you?
What are you?
I think it's just he's shogeg, but he's not high on hatos. That's the only thing.
Okay, so you want to say it like that? That's fine.
Why not say it?
I understand. The question, the way he states the question is, kodem shavoli de chiyav chatos. He uses the language of chiyav chatos.
Right, so he's still
okay, we're parsing over here. In other words, I agree with you. In other words, I wouldn't call him a mezid either.
Right.
Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're talking about a guy who is a mezid. Okay, and again, it's that strange oddity where basically the guy, knowing his Shabbos, puts the bread in the oven, and then all of a sudden has a change of heart. Oh, it's Shabbos, I shouldn't have done that. Now should I take it out? Well, there's the Issur Derabbanan that says I can't take it out. In other words, he all of a sudden, like in the snap of a finger, he becomes frum. But again, the stranger things have happened in this world. It's not crazy. Huh? No, the Gemara now is suggesting that the case is a case where he's amazing. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. So, but the Gemara says, but that's strange because kom shiav olidei yisr skila mi ba'ilei. So then the wording of Rabibi Barabai shouldn't have anything to do with chatos and shogeg. It should say skila. Now, skila, by the way, you understand when the Gemara says skila over here, the Gemara doesn't like really mean skila. Meaning, with in other words, there was no warning. Okay. So Amar Rav Shila alone b'shogeg ulamani tira l'acherim. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go back. The man was a shogeg. Okay? And not only was he a shogeg, but he forgot. Totally forgot. Walked away. And now here's the question. And now it gets even more exciting. I just watched the whole thing happen. I saw him put bread in the oven. I saw him walk away. And I realized that he totally forgot that today was Shabbos. And so now, can I go into the phone booth, right, change into my Superman costume, and save him from an Isser? And all it's going to take for me, in other words, is to violate an Isser Derabbanan.
And there's a mitzvah, right?
So he gets to
do right? There's a mitzvah, right?
Now, right? Now the Gemara gets exciting. Because can I do that? Can I take a hit, take a spiritual hit, and violate an Isser Derabbanan to save somebody else from an Isser Daraisa? What do you mean? I think I understand. Right, I understand your question. Radia sapasi, Issa de Rabbanan Radia sapasi is once the bread's on the oven wall, you can't take it off.
It sticks right away when it gets there.
Huh? Right. It's right. In other words, leave him in a state of shogeg. But you can, I mean, still when you're a shogeg, you're still mechalal Shabbos. Right. So good. So in other words, that's. Yeah. Right. Okay, that's the question of the Gemara. So, Maskev la Rav Sheshes v'chiyomim laladim chatei kidei shizke chavercha. Okay, so I've seen a number of shirim on this topic. This is a really exciting topic. Can I do that? And the Gemara says, "You're not." In other words, the Gemara says as a no brainer. And the Gemara asks rhetorically, "V'chiyomim laladim chatei kidei shizke chavercha." Are you allowed to do that? Elam Ravashi lolam bemezid. So Ravashi says it's so untenable for me to violate even an Issur Derabbanan to allow into a bed and to help somebody and save somebody from an Issur Daraisa So the Gemara says, you know what? We're going to go back to our original suggestion where he was amazing. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to tweak. We're going to go back to the original statement of Rabbi Bar Abaye. And even though in the way the question was formatted, it was, we're going to change it. And we're going to change it to Kodim Shiyavu Lidei Yisur Skila. Rav Acha Brei Derava Masin La Beheja. And when Rav Acha taught the question of Rabbi Bar Abaye, that's how he taught it. I'm Rabbi Bar Abaye. He didn't pass Matan. He told all the Rados. Kodim Shiyavu Lidei Yisur Skila. Okay. Good. And by the way.
So they
Why is it a question? No.
That's a punishment. It's not the. It's not the.
Right. Okay. Look, it's great. And take a look. On your own. Take a look at Tosfos. Where Tosfos has a discussion of is there any time in the world of halacha where it's okay to violate an isser derabbanan in order to facilitate or save somebody from an isser daraisa. From our Gemara, it sounds like no, you're not allowed to, but there may be cases where it's okay. Okay, pasha da anis yado. Okay, good. Moving on, we go back to our Mishnah, and we really haven't moved that far in our Mishnah. Bottom line is no, meaning the Gemara starts off as in other words, the basic rule is no. You can't take any spiritual hit, not even an Issa Darabbanan, to save someone else from an Issa Daraisa. Right. Huh? Even Skila, let's think about this for a moment. In other words, I mean, the person who is now ready to allow himself to be killed, meaning skila means that he got a warning, and he says afal pi kein, and now what? You're gonna stop the process so that he? Yeah, I mean, I, look.
Yeah. Same idea.
Right. Okay. We go back to the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says like this: Pasha ani tiyado lefnim benasal sochiyado shabal abayis. Oh, shenatal. You put it into the hand of the Baal Bais, you put it into the hand of the Ani. Okay. Here's the Gemara's question. It's very simple. We'll ask the question, we'll do the entire Amud Beis. It's not a lot to it. But really, we won't really give the real response to the question. The question goes like this. Amai Chayev, Habin and Akira Vanachem, Yagabe Makum Dalar Adal, Veleka. Okay, basic rule regarding Akira Vanachem. When I do an Akira or a Hanach, it has to be on Makam Dalal Al Dalal. Bima is a great example. Okay, look at this Bima. It's beautiful. And how wide is this Bima? So, I don't know, 2 feet by 3 feet, approximately. Perfect. Okay, Makam Dalal Al Dalal means it has to be in the area of 4 by 4 tfachim. Okay, approximately 12, 16 inches, a foot by a foot. Okay? So, a foot by a foot. So, in other words, in order for me to be Mechal Shabbos, I have to do an Akira from a Makam Dalal Al Dalal. And I got to put it down on a makam dalal al dalal. Now it's funny, the Gemara says it, like we all know this, right? We're all aware that it has to be me makam dalal al dalal onto a makam dalal al dalal. Gemara doesn't flinch. Where did. What? Okay, so good. So basically, we'll start off with a very simple question before we go further in the Gemara. Where did the Gemara get this from? Meaning the Gemara is asking this like it's a davar pashut. You know how Akira and Anacha works. Me'al dala dala, $2. Where does that come from? Well, no. In other words, this has nothing to do with Rishus. Meaning even in the Rishus Hayachid, it has to be from an area that's dala dala. Even in the Rishus Harabim, it has to be makam dala dala. And the Gemara's question is that a hand is smaller than a foot by a foot. So how is there any liability in our Mishnah if you're putting it on a hand which is not dalal al dalal? That's the Gemara's question. So let's first start off by saying, where did the Gemara get this from? So take a look at Tosos. Tosos is bothered by this. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Tosos the Habina, Akir Vanach, Meav Makam Dalin. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Dein Regilas Anecha Chefetz Papachas Midalin. So Rabbeinu Tam writes, it's too unusual. It's strange. Meaning that when we talk about Akir and Hanach, it has to be in a way that's normally done. Right? We use terminology, which you're going to hear a lot throughout Masechta Shabbos, of what's called Shinui. Meaning if I do something which is strange or unusual, it doesn't conform to a malacha. Perhaps that's what Rabbeinu Tam means over here. Is that this criteria that it has to be from a makam dala dalan onto a makam dala dalan is because if you don't do it on a makam dala dalan, that's strange. Who puts something down on an item that's less than a foot by a foot? Okay. V'chein hayam mistama b'mishkan, and Rabbeinu Tam says, and probably that's how it was done in the Mishkan. Now, again, the starting point for the whole discussion is from the Gemara, because the Gemara says it without flinching, that it has to be makam dala al dala. Okay. Now, the answer will be, can I do this? I'm going to give away the answer. Even though the answer does not come up until Daf Hamad Aleph, which we're not going to see until Shmini Atzeres Bezras Hashem. But I'm going to say the answer now, because it's one of the fundamentals. Meaning that, and as, again, you go back to that first Tosfos. Tosfos says, one of the reasons why we started off discussing Otsa'a is so you get some of the basics down. What are some of the basics? The basics is that in the world of Akir and Hanacha, your hand is like Dalet al Dalet. You take a look ahead to Daf Hey Amad Aleph, Elam Arava, it's right in the middle of the Amud, smack in the middle of the Amud. I'm giving away, is this a spoiler alert? I'm giving away the Gemara's answer. Elam Arava, Yadosh Adam, Chashuva lo Kedalet al Dalet. Your hand has the status of Dalet al Dalet, V'chein Kiyas Arava, Nam Rav Yochanan, Yadosh Adam, Chashuva lo Kedalet al Dalet. And the Gemara says it. Like, in other words, your hand is like the status of Dalet al Dalet. Meaning that this requirement of Dalet al Dalet is just simply that I have to put it down in a secure area. To put it down on an unstable area is just simply not an Akira, nor is it a Hanacha.
So that's your hand, not supposed to be
else's hand. Okay, fine. But in other words, but the point is that a hand is a secure area. So when I put something down in either my hand or in somebody else's hand, it's kid Dalet al Dalet, it's like Dalet al Dalet. Good. So really what I've done now is I've basically left the remainder of today's daf totally totally NA, not applicable, because now you know the answer, the Gemara's answer. But what the Gemara will do now, from now until that very point in time, is it will try to, using its Bikias, figure out maybe there's some Tanaim out there who don't have this Dalet al Dalet requirement. Okay? But now, but we know the answer.
Put it down, you say, okay, so the order is not, it's not putting it down, okay. But in Akira, how can it not be? What's the difference? What's, you know, I don't understand that.
Okay,
so what is the
place? There may be distinction between them. The Gemara's assumption is that it has to be both. It has to be Dalet al Dalet, the Akira and the Hanacha. The Gemara, you may be right, by the way. There may be distinction between Akira and Hanacha. As we'll go through the Gemara. So the Gemara, Amar Rava, so we start off with the following. Hamani Rabbi Akiva Damar Labina Makamar Ba'alaba Al-Arba'a. So perhaps our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says that you do not need a makam dala al dala. Did not, in fact, I'll show it to you based on a Mishnah. Hazark Mirshoseach, Rishoseach, Rishoserab, and Memsa. Let's say you throw something over the road. Now you need a good arm. Okay, because as we already learned, the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has to be at least 16 amas. 16 amas is approximately 32 feet. 32 feet, that's basically your throw from second base to first base. Okay, approximately. It's not that bad. Chuck Knobloch had issues with that, but that's Chuck Knobloch. Okay, and for those... For those of you who really get that reference, by the way, I apologize. Okay, and so to throw something from one Rosh Hashanah to a Rosh Hashanah with a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the middle, Rabbi Kiva Mechayev. So Rabbi Kiva says you will be Chayev. The Chachamim Poshim, the Chachamim say you're Potter. Rabbi Kiva Savra Amina Klutik Mishon Chadamia. This is such an interesting position, which we're going to see now. We're going to see later on the Masechta as well. Rabbi Kiva subscribes to the idea of Klutik Mishon Chadamia, meaning, if you can imagine for just a moment, let's say this bima is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's terrible because it's elevated. And so it's not a great visual. And I take an item and I throw it over. So in other words, I'm standing in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The item traverses, then it goes over the Rishus HaRabim, and it lands another Rishus HaYachim. So now, if you think about it, remember, it's all about Akira and Hanacha. Akira took place in a Rishus HaYachim. The Hanacha took place in a Rishus HaYachim. And it's kind of just hovering over
in the airspace
of the Rishus HaRabim. Let's assume... Well, okay, very good. Very good. Okay. So it's a line drive. Okay, so it's the guy's got a good arm. He's submarine pitcher. Oh, they never do well in the majors. He should sue his coach for teaching him how to fish submarine. So anyway, so he throws it and it goes underneath the tefachim. And so it lands there. So Rabbi Akiva says, Kluta Kamisha Huncha, which means the fact that it was in the airspace, obviously not stationary. Not at one point was it stationary. But the fact that it was in the airspace, Kluta Kamisha Huncha, it's as if it's actually placed in the airspace. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabban Sarva law we include the Kamishon Chadamya. And the Chachamim hold that no, we don't hold to that principle. We don't hold to that principle. Now, if what we're saying is correct, so we now can point to Rabbi Akiva and say, you know, Rabbi Akiva doesn't require this dollar a dollar. Obviously. Because what he is suggesting is that as the item is going over the Rishus HaRabim, it's like it's resting in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, I know what you could have said if you would like to press a little bit on this issue, is that once you say Kluta Kamishuncha, so it's like it's resting on a dollar a dollar. Yeah, you could press, and I understand that, but the Gemara assumes no, you cannot. And the Gemara therefore assumes that you see that, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no requirement of dalad al dalad. Now, the Gemara says, Kamishon Chadamya. Lameimer de Pshita le Rav de Bekluta Kamishon Chadamya. Uvetoch Hasar Pligi Vahami Bai Bai Le Rabba. De Bai Rabba. Now, the Gemara says, you really went so fast over this point, and the Gemara says, you got to slow down. Because when we see this point again later in the Masechta, okay, when we come back to the Melach of Otsa later, part two, we're going to see that Rabbah asked the following question. On this debate between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, that by Rabbah, Lamata Miyud, Pligiyu, Baha Pligiyu, Rabbi Kiva, Sava Kluta Kamishon Chadamya, Verabban Tzavei, Lo Arina Kluta Kamishon Chadamya? Is that the debate going on over here? Ava Lamala Miyud, Divrei HaKol Pater, but if it's above 10, Tfachim, everyone's going to say it's Pater. Udekuli Hama Lo Yalfin, Zorak Mimoshit, and nobody learns that Zorak Mimoshit, meaning, a parallel malacha, like a cousin malacha, if you will, of what's called moshit, hoshata. When we get to the tzadis, we're going to see this malacha in more detail. It's passing from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid over a Rishus HaRabim. It's a malacha of hoshata. But it's not throwing, it's passing. Okay. Oh, Dilma Lamalam Yud Pligi. Oh, so I'm sorry. Well, so that's possibility number one. That the whole debate between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is when the object was being thrown below 10 Tfachim. Oh, Dilma Lamalam Yud Pligi. Or maybe they're arguing about when it was thrown over 10 Tfachim. So it was not a line drive, it was a lob. Over how Pligi the Rabbi Kiva Savi Yafin is Zorik Mimoshit. Where Rabbi Kiva says, we are going to learn out the Malacha of Zorik from the Malacha of Oshata. But below 10 tefachim, never alkol chayav. So my time, I'm in a kluta kamishon chadamya. And the reason why is because kluta is like it's munach. So halokasha basidi bardahar doishatel. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Rabbi asked that question, but I'm telling you, he resolved his own question to suffer Rabbi Kiva kluta kamishon chadamya. Okay, so the Gemara says you're right. He asked that question, but I'm telling you, he resolved his own question. The whole issue is where it was thrown below 10 tefachim. Wonderful. And so the Gemara now is at this point somewhat satisfied that at least we have now a Tana who's of the opinion that you don't need dalad al dalad. So when our Mishnah says that I took an item and I put it in someone's hand, oh, wait a second, the Gemara's alarm went off. Well, it's not a makam dalad al dalad. So now the Gemara is saying, it's okay because it's Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva does not require a makam dalad al dalad. Vidilma, hanachu dalabai hakira baye. So the Gemara says, okay, but maybe, and Phil, you're going to like this. Maybe, right, Hanacha doesn't require dalet al dalet, but maybe akira does require dalet al dalet. So, and if that's true, so that our Mishnah describes both, where the akira and the hanacha was done either from a hand or to a hand. In other words, we need to find the Tana of our Mishnah who requires neither akira nor hanacha to be makam dalet al dalet. Elam Rav Yosef Hamani Rebbe Hi. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll show you another Tana, and that Tana is Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Hi Rebbe, Ilei Mahad Tanya. The Gemara says, where does Rebbe say this? So maybe it's from the following. Zarek V'nach Agabe Ziv Kol Shehu, Rebbe Mechai V'chacham in Potrim. So the Gemara brings the case where I throw an item, and it lands on a Ziz Kol Shehu. Ziz just simply means a protrusion off a wall. It does not is not resting on a makum dalet al dalet. Rebbe says you're chayv the chacham sviyah patar. Hasam kedabai lameimar lekam kedabai. Amar Abaye hacha beilan haomid berushos yachid v'nofa notel berushos rabim. Well, the Gemara says, well, that case is very specific. That protrusion is not just a protrusion. The tree was in a berushos yachid, right? Right. We have trees growing out of our house. Not all of us. What's that called? With the trees in the middle of your house? Atrium. So he has an atrium, or it doesn't have to be that fancy, it could just simply be there's a fence around the around. Anyway, the trees in Rosh Hashanah, the branch went into Rosh Hashanah, Vizarik Vanach Anofo, and you threw it on the branch. The Rebbe Savar Amrin Shdi Nofo Basri Karo. What Rebbe says, do it, meaning that branches is following the base of the tree. The base of the tree is in the Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, it's as if you put the item onto Rosh Hashanah. The Chachamim disagree. They say, no. Once the branch is outside the Rosh Hashanah, the branch is not considered part of the Rosh Hashanah. So in other words, it's not that Rebbe. It's a different Rebbe. Elaha Rebbe Detanya. So the Gemara says it comes from the following. Zarek mi Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Bemsa. So now we're going to do with the flip case. Meaning, there are two Rosh Hashanahs, right? Sometimes you drive up north, and you know how the turnpike and 95 are like side by side one another?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, Port St. Lucie, like around that's Fort Pierce, around that area. So now let's say I'm on one Rosh Hashanah, I throw to another Rosh Hashanah, and there is a Rosh Hashanah in between the two. In between the two. So this is the inverse of what we discussed earlier. Zarg Rishosaram, Rishosaram, Rishosiach Mamsa, Rebbe Mechayv the Chacham and Pocha. Now Rebbe says, Yechayv the Chacham and Seir Pater. Now this Rebbe over here is very reminiscent of Rebbe Akiva, right? Two things we have to clarify. First of all, the Rebbe Akiva case is the opposite, where you stood on a Rishosiachid, you threw to another Rishosiachid through Rishosarabim. But that's, in other words, this is the inverse, where I was standing on one Rosh Hashanah, I threw to another Rosh Hashanah, and there was a Rosh Hashanah in the middle. But that's not the reason why we brought this up. We brought this up, the Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mechayev HaYarebi, Shtayim. Here's the kicker. The kicker is that when Rebbe says Yerchayev, he does not mean Yerchayev one Karban Chatas, Yerchayev two Karban Chatas, says Rebbe Shtayim. Achas Mishum Otzav, Achas Mishum Achnasa. Because look, here's what's happening. So here I am now standing on 95. And there's the turnpike on the other side. And I'm throwing it now through the Rosh Hayachin. Through or over. Actually, we're going to make that point in just a moment. And so now Rebbe says like this. Rosh Harabim, as it's in the air now, freeze that moment. Good. That's one Chatas. Right? From the Rosh Harabim to the Rosh Hayachin. Now let's continue the film. And we continue, and now it lands over here. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. So Rebbe says your chayv twice. Okay. No, not Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe. Huh? It is based on seems to be based on Klutz Kamishon Chadamia. It seems to be. So the Gemara says, "Ram Rebbe Yonah Merav Mechayv Ayir Rebbe Shtayim Achas Mishum Otzav Achas Mishum Achnasa Alma." Lo bai akira v'lo hanacha gabe makom dalet al dalet. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? So you see over here what we wanted to demonstrate. I have found a Tana, not just any Tana, by the way, Rav Yehuda Nasi, who, by the way, happens to be the author, editor, however you want to say it, of the Mishnah. He doesn't require hanacha makom dala dalad, neither on the akira nor on the hanacha. So to the Gemara's question, you're putting it on the hand is not a makom dala dalad. So right now the Gemara has an answer, which is, don't worry, we're going like Rebbe. Rebbe doesn't require makom dala dalad. Okay, we'll stop over here. In other words, we are in the middle of a sentence, I realize that, but that is the end of the daf. We'll stop, and we're out of time. We'll stop over here. Well, next time we pick it up, we're going to present problems with this approach, and everyone here already knows the answer. The answer is, your hand is like a makom dala dalad, but we will learn that formally together on Shmini Atzeres. Everyone have a good vach, good moed, gemar tov, good kvittel, and we get together as a daf yomi on Shmini Atzeres, rabbi's class.